When we understand who we are, we understand what we really want. I'm Alex Orlando. I help people transform. And this is Dating and Authenticity.
Hey, everybody. This is Frankie, and you are listening to Dating and Authenticity with Alex Orlando. And we are actually still working on getting Alex on the show here. This happens. Just 1 second. And here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. Hi.
Hiya.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really great. So, everybody, welcome to the show. It's Sunday, May 31st, and we're talking about... Alex, why don't you just tell us what we're talking about today?
Yeah, sure. Today's actually going to be one of my favorite and one of the topics that I find the most interesting, both in the world of dating, but also in the world of personal development. And that's going to be introversion and extroversion, but also so much how it links into confidence and how it links into your own self-identity. And there's so many misconceptions surrounding introversion and extroversion. And the danger of that is that these social misconceptions have led to a lot of people internalizing and deciding things about themselves that they really, really don't need to do. So I'm hoping today just to offer a little bit of insight that will perhaps have people just rethink a little bit more about who they are and rethink a little bit more about what they want from the dating world.
Okay. So I have done a lot of personal development work. I have done, a lot of transformational work and, year-long programs and, also work in the psychological kind of, therapeutic world. And I have to say that I was fascinated by your take on this topic, like being an introvert and being an extrovert. So, I'm really excited to have everyone else get some insight to it. What I like about your work is that, we hear things, we practice things, we explore things, but you always kind of take it a step further or into another realm. So I just wanted to say that. And I want to also invite listeners, if you are, you want to call in and you want to ask a question, our dial-in number is area code 516-666-9512. So, Alex, why don't you tell me a little bit about the topic?
Yeah, sure. So often when I start working with a new client, and this is particularly in the case with men, although I've heard plenty of women also say it, but they'll often describe themselves as being an introvert, and they'll often describe themselves as having no confidence. And I think that comes from the social misconception, because there is a thought process in the world that introverts are shy, quiet, and socially awkward people, whereas by contrast, extroverts are really confident, really outgoing in the life of the party. The reality is you can get some unbelievably confident introverts, and you can also get some unbelievably less confident than you perceive them to be extroverts. But what is so interesting to say is that who we are in the dating world often mirrors who we are in the real world. So if you perceive yourself to be shy, awkward in the dating world, you're probably going to mirror that in the real world as well. So often when someone decides that they are introverted, subconsciously they often decide to socially isolate themselves because they think that's who they are, or they'll decide that they are, they're the type of person that's not meant to go out after what they want because they are, shy, or they've decided that they're shy. But they don't pay attention to the skills that they've got, and they actually don't focus on how many things are achievable for them that they didn't necessarily realize that they were. And introverts can often feel very intimidated when they're around extroverts. And I don't think they need to. I really don't think they need to at all. And I'll see it when I'm working with a client that often they'll describe themselves as introverted, but you realize sort of 30 minutes in that whilst they may see themselves as that, they're actually really, really confident at the same time. And if you look at extroverts in the world too, extroverts are often seen as being, you know, fantastic entertainers, and they're often seen as, you know, bringing energy to everything that they do. But often too, you'll often notice that some people see extroverts as being loud and threatening to be around. And it's really, really key for someone to understand where they are on the extrovert and introversion spectrum, because as is the case with everything, you're never definitively one thing. There tends to be a spectrum. And I think 70% of the world's population fall into what's known as ambivert, which is, you know, somewhere in between introvert and somewhere between extrovert. But my work as a coach really is about developing the strengths that kind of sit within that. And it's about developing the strengths that perhaps aren't necessarily first nature for that person, but it's really powerful when you start to see clients develop it.
So one of the things I hear you saying is that when people are shy and then they decide, well, I'm an introvert, and then that automatically kind of, there's a list that comes along with that. Like, okay, so I have no confidence and I don't really have skills. And it's kind of like one is like, it's bad to be that in a way. And they decide like, well, one is better than the other. Right. And what you're saying, what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, each one has their own specific skills, and that's where your work is, right?
Yeah, that exactly. And I think just to throw a kind of another side to the argument too, the British actor Tom Hardy describes himself as an introvert, and I'm sure there's plenty of women listening that have a massive, massive crush on Tom Hardy. And also the other side of that is the actress Margot Robbie describes herself as an introvert too. And I'm sure there's plenty of men listening that also have a massive, massive crush on Margot Robbie. So the point is that just because an introvert may see an extrovert as having, you know, having so much more going for them and being so much more attractive, the real world cases just don't back that up. In fact, you know, there's once someone really develops who they are and becomes the best version of themselves, regardless of where someone is on the introversion, extroversion spectrum, they can become, you know, unbelievably attractive. But it's about expressing yourself authentically, and it's about being the best version of yourself that you can be. And that is the work, A, as the coach, but that's also the work in the individual and the personal development perspective, because once you start unlocking this, as we touched on last week with, you know, being authentic with yourself, you tap into a whole new release of potential.
Right. Well, I know in kind of just talking to people about the topic, we actually came across some people that had some questions on the topics on both sides. So again, I want to invite anybody who wants to talk about this topic to call in at 516-666-9512. And if you're in the UK, you can dial in through Skype. Okay, and all the information, by the way, is on our show page. We got one question from somebody that actually I know, and I'm gonna actually have the opportunity to record it. So I'm gonna play that, and then I'll let you just speak to that. Okay.
Sometimes when I go out and plan to meet women, I feel like I'm out of place, like I'm competing with the so-called cooler guys who are loud and sometimes even the bartender. I'm a 40-year-old music composer, good looking, but how do I compete with that?
Yeah, so this person, like when you meet this person, he just seems like he's got it all, right? And then I was really surprised to hear this. So what do you have to say to that?
I'm hearing several things from that, and I'll address this question to the person as though they were in front of me in a coaching session. So the first thing that I'm hearing is it sounds like when you're going out, you're placing a degree of expectation on yourself in order to meet women. So there's two questions that I have for that. number one, is that because you need to validate something to yourself? Or number two, is that because you genuinely are looking for the person, or you're looking for a, you know, a collection of people to date to see what happens? Both of those are absolutely fine, but if it's for validation reasons, it's never ever going to be fun. And like I say, meeting women, or, you know, meeting the opposite sex, or meeting who or whoever you want to meet, links really heavily in with personal development. And personal development has to be fun. Otherwise, you become instantly disengaged and you become instantly uninterested. And the fact that you describe yourself as being good looking, and Frankie mentions that you have it all, implies that you're almost frustrated that other people aren't seeing that. And I suspect that it's not that other people aren't seeing that. In fact, I'm willing to bet people do see it. But what I'm hearing more is it's not a fun journey for you. And you're putting expectations on other people to perceive you in a way that you want to be perceived. And I also wonder if when you go out, you're actually going to the wrong places, or you're looking to meet the wrong types of women. And I'll reference a personal example myself now. I classify myself as being a confident introvert. And one of the things that the science backs up, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit, is that introverts just do not like being in bars or nightclubs. It just, it doesn't feel right. They feel drained, they feel uninterested, and they disengage very quickly. So maybe there's some work in doing in finding out where you want to be, and then going to the right type of places, and then meeting the right type of women as a result of that, rather than thinking that just because a bar or a nightclub or a huge social gathering has a, you know, has a wealth of women there, it's not about meeting a lot of women. It's about meeting the right women for you.
Right. So what would you say, I mean, other than that, like you had talked about skills and like introverts having certain skills. So what would you say to him in that arena?
So an introvert's first probable strength in a dating capacity is that they are really, really good at focusing on what's going on directly in front of them, whereas extroverts usually get distracted and are much more focused on what's going on around them. So what that tends to mean is that introverts are absolutely fantastic at building trust and rapport, and they usually have really, really good listening skills alongside that as well. And on top of that, and this goes, you mentioned that you're a composer as well, introverts are often very intuitive, reflective, and creative as well. And usually as a result of that, they're very, very good at reading people, and they're very, very good at reading social situations. So it's about leaning into those skills, and it's about going to places where you can do that in a way that it feels more natural for you to do that.
Okay. So say for instance, and you know, this guy's a composer, so he has to go to some event that has to do with a project that he worked on. Mm-hmm. And he feels really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. What would you tell him? Well, how would you coach him going into a situation like that?
So a weakness that introverts often have is they struggle with small talk, usually because they're much more interested in the deeper things that are going through their head due to their reflective nature. So the first thing to do is to develop your small talk skills. And if that's something that feels a little while away, develop or find maybe three questions that you find the answers interesting enough to have a conversation with, but you're also interested enough to actually ask. Then when you start asking people these questions in these kind of social gatherings, you'll find that you're engaging much more in conversation. And the second thing too, and I see a lot of introverts do this in the dating world, they get frustrated when people don't respond to them in the way that they respond to. But the common theme usually is that just if you take a basic question like how you are, an introvert may just answer that question and then just shut it down. You know, there's no following on conversation from there. So it's about answering that question in a way that allows a conversation to facilitate. It's really about doing things that feel a little bit uncomfortable initially and beginning to embed them as the norm. So it's one of the things that I always say to guys who classify themselves as introverted is develop two or three really good female friendships, because women by trait, you know, enjoy small talk a lot more than men do. But also you're surrounding yourself with a different energy. And once you get used to having different energies around you, and once you get used to speaking to people who will lean into things like small talk, you'll find that it's actually those skills like that are really, really second nature to develop. And once you start developing those skills, you'll actually be able to tap into your other skills, which will then really, really make you very attractive.
Okay. So I don't know, just kind of let me, like, say what, what is small talk? And, you know, what would, yeah, for, give an example of some small talk.
So small talk's what we face day to day in every life. So small talk will be someone asking how your day is, what you think of the weather, or small talk might even just be, you know, what's your opinion on this? But just because a question is perceived as small talk, it doesn't mean that it has to end directly there. And if someone's a true introvert, they'll have done a lot of reflecting on pretty much most things in their life. So when someone asks a basic question, there's always that opportunity to impart a view, impart a belief on something. But also it's about inviting others to do the same things as well. And I think, again, that's something that introverts should lean more into doing, just because it's not necessarily something that's second nature to them, but it's something that's really powerful for them as well.
Okay, awesome. Okay, great. So we'll come back to that a little bit more. And I had someone ask me another question. So let's listen to that.
I'm having a really hard time being home during this quarantine. I want to go out, and I'm feeling very anxious and a little desperate at times. All I ever wanted was more time off, and now I have it. I hate it. What's going on with me?
So I think that question mirrors what so many people are thinking and so many people are feeling at the moment. I think it's, some people aren't necessarily explicitly expressing that, but deep down they're probably feeling it. So I think it's a question that really, really deserves some thought. So the first thing that I'm hearing is a lot of people have placed a lot of pressure on themselves in this quarantine time to be productive, just because everyday life usually involves being productive. There's an expectation that we'll go to work. There's an expectation that we'll socialize. And now suddenly during quarantine, during lockdown, we can't do that in the way that we did it before. And I think human nature often means that you internalize and you criticize yourself a lot. So the first part of the work is to really, really move away from that. And then the other thing that I notice people do too during this quarantine time as well is they lean into conversations with people that they perhaps shouldn't. They get back in contact with people that they perhaps shouldn't. Or they struggle to find that productivity. They struggle to find that real strong instinct to actually do more. So the first thing to do is to set yourself a short-term goal, which is just something that you're going to achieve that day. Second thing to do is to set yourself a medium-term goal, which is something that you want to achieve by the end of the week. And then the third thing to do is to set yourself a longer-term goal, which is just a visualization of where you'd like to be at the end of the quarantine period. And then just try and do things just to work towards that. Because I think it's important to say that, you know, coming to the end of quarantine could feel like 1,000 steps away, but it doesn't actually have to pan out like that, because there could be some days where you take 200 steps. There could be days where you take 1,000 steps, or there could be days where you take one or two. The point is we're just moving towards the end of this quarantine period, and it's about getting yourself there and being a person that you're proud of.
Right. Wow. So clearly this person is more of an extrovert and really struggling with being in. And I can see how managing those, you know, one steps or smaller steps to, it's almost like we have to redirect our focus and intention, because we don't have the same lifestyle that we had previously. So, as an extrovert, like kind of going more in and, would build up some, because this person's saying they're really anxious, you know, they're experiencing some anxiety and even a little desperation. So you're saying that by doing these things in increments, that could quell those feelings and those experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm saying that it's about changing the goal, because you're not going to be able to achieve and do what you were doing before COVID-19, because this is a global pandemic. But if you change the goal and you make a goal that's achievable, you'll feel so much better, just because you'll still have that feeling that you're actually working towards something and you're still achieving something. The problem is that people often switch off from that, because they just decide we're in a pandemic and we can't do anything. But it doesn't have to be like that. There's so much content out there for people to immerse themselves and reflect on. And there's still so many different ways that people can network and speak. It's just about, it's about adapting, and it's about coping, and it's about finding a new way of being just for this period. But the main thing that has to stay in there is there has to be an element of fulfillment, and it becomes more reliant on you as an individual to find that, to find that fulfillment for yourself. So it might be hard now, but I promise you that when you come out of the quarantine period, you'll have so much more resilience because you've had this period and you've had this time where you've had to be more self-reliant.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I have a question for you, actually. We were talking about this, and you mentioned something to me, which I found really fascinating. And I feel like I've had that similar experience. When people who think they know me really get to know me, they're like, wow, I thought you were really outgoing, and you're actually more, you're not what I thought you were, right? So, and then you said something about this, so I found it really fascinating. And that was that you said you were born an introvert, and then as you got older, you became an extrovert. And then, and I'm wondering, like, how is that possible? And how did that actually happen for you?
Well, the science backs up and says completely that if you're born an introvert, you die an introvert. And if you're born an extrovert, you die an extrovert. And that's just due to how the body processes dopamine. And I will just give a very, very brief explanation of that, because I think that it is hugely relevant. Introverts and extroverts have exactly the same amount of dopamine in their body. However, it's how they respond to the dopamine which determines whether someone is introverted or extrovert. So the classic example is an extrovert will walk into a loud bar, nightclub or concert. They'll hear all the loud noise, they'll brush into people, and for them that will feel exciting, and they'll have a sense of hype for what's to come for the rest of the evening, and their dopamine levels get really, really high. This will feel exciting, stimulating, and it will be impossible for them to walk away from. By contrast, an introvert doesn't respond well to the levels of dopamine. Instead, they'll feel overstimulated, drained, and they want to get away from it as quick as possible. Often at times, they'll just disengage, and they'll disengage from socializing with other people, and they'll disengage from the social environment that they're in. And this is just because they're exhausted by the high levels of dopamine. So introverts rely on another organic chemical, which is also linked to pleasure, like dopamine, which is named acetylcholine. But this hormone, instead of focusing on external pleasure from outside, comes when we reflect inwards. So that's the biggest differentiation between an introvert and an extrovert. So you can't change, but what you can do is you can put yourself in situations where you feel more comfortable. So for me, I know now that in a bar or a nightclub, I disengage, I feel bored, and I don't feel comfortable. But if you put me in a room with people that are interested in more profound conversations, or you put me in a room with people that are interested in personal development, I'm going to feel at ease, and I'm going to feel really, really confident in that situation. So it's about putting yourself in situations or in places where you feel comfortable, where you feel excited. And introverts can be unbelievably confident. And a lot of the times introverts are actually unbelievably good flirters and unbelievably good daters, because they have those social calibration skills to focus on directly what's going in front of them. So it really just becomes about supporting yourself and setting yourself up to succeed, rather than thinking that you have to do what kind of society is telling you to do. And that was really what I found. I found that if I started surrounding myself with people that I connected more with, and I started putting myself in situations that I felt engaged more with, I instantly felt more confident. And once you develop that confidence, it just spreads to other aspects of your life. And I talked a little bit earlier about developing skills around skills around small talk. And once I started developing those, I really felt so much more comfortable in most social situations. So it's about just leaning into what you know you like, what you know you enjoy, but also kind of learning those coping mechanisms for when you're in a situation that you feel less comfortable with.
So tell me about what it was like. So what did that look like? When you were younger, you were more interested in, I don't know, reading. I don't know, right? As an introvert. And then, like, what would actually happen is what I'm interested in.
Well, when I was younger, I was unbelievably quiet. And I remember starting at school when I was 11 and people nicknaming me the mute because I was so quiet. And I kind of built up a story in my head that talking wasn't something that I felt comfortable doing. And the more you build up that story, the harder it then becomes to change and the harder it then becomes to talk. So I kind of started even at that age on this, to be honest, this certain degree of shame of actually being quiet and actually being introverted. Then as I got older, I began to feel it more and more. But the change really came as I began to realize my confidence in other areas. And then once I started to develop my own passions, my own interests, and I started to see that filter through to other aspects of my life, I instantly began to feel more confident. And now I love being around new people because I see it as an opportunity to showcase the best version of who I am. And I love being around new people because essentially I'm fascinated by people. That's why coaching is a path that I am following, because I care about people and I want to see people develop and succeed. And I feel because I've had my own journey with confidence, my own journey with speaking, and my own journey with just expressing myself, I feel like I can relate and see that so much with clients. And the real strength that I have felt has come in discovering my passions and discovering what I'm actually interested in talking about. And I think once you do that, you just engage so much more with other people because you're engaging and understanding yourself so much more too.
Right. Wow. The mute, that's mean. I'm always like amazed, like when we were talking about one of your clients and how, you know, someone in response to his height sent him some awful picture of an Oompa Loompa, right? Or what was it? Mm-hmm. Anyway. And then like, you know, that you were called the mute and how that actually kind of, that gives people a label, and it's not their label. It's not, you know, it's not a label that we choose for ourselves, but yet we take it on and think it's real and just kind of go about life like if that's the truth. And it's kind of like it's always playing in our head. And what I love about coaching is that it actually gives people the opportunity to say it out loud and then deal with it. Like you're 11 years old, and had you not had that transformation in yourself or that self-discovery and turned out, you know, to who you are now, like you know, there's still like we live our lives like if, you know, we're 11 years old, right? So
yeah, we live so much of our life based on the character that we created for ourselves, regardless of whether that character is actually correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But the fun work in personal development and the fun work as a coach for me is destroying that, is challenging that, and is actually realizing that that was never you, and you actually were always capable of so much more.
Right. As an introvert, like discovering your skills and then using those, and then. And what like what you said about, you know, you love people, like you like being around people. Mm-hmm. I know that your background, it, you know, along with coaching and working with people, has been in human resources. And so not everybody can do human resources. Like it's really dealing with people on a large scale and make sure that there's workability, you know, toward a common goal or commitment or mission statement for an organization. So talk a little bit about your work in that and how that partners with what you're doing in your coaching.
Sure. I mean, as I said earlier, I care about people. I care about people a lot, and I'm interested in people, and I've been interested in people for as long as I can remember. And working in human resources, as you say, or anything in that field, fundamentally people are the bulk of what you do. And whilst I am obviously very interested in people's working successes and I'm very interested in people's working happiness, the thing that I'm really, really interested in is just seeing people grow as a whole. And that's not just in their working life, but that's in the whole of their life. And when I first decided that, you know, dating coaching was something that I wanted to follow, people had this misconception that dating coaching is about teaching people techniques, or dating coaching is about telling people where to go to meet the right person. And it really isn't that. It's about recognizing people's strengths, recognizing people's weaknesses, making that person feel empowered, making that person feel valued, and then setting themselves up where they're ready to go. And whilst it's great being in a career where I can see people succeed in the working capacity, what I'm really fascinated by is seeing people do is what I'm really fascinated by is seeing people succeed in every capacity in their life. And I can't explain how much dating success or relationship success is mirrored in success in all other aspects of your life. And I love being the person that can play a part in that for an individual. Like, I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've seen your clients go have a transformation pretty quickly. And have confidence, like not like a fake thing, not like a pumped up thing, but actually tap into something in themselves that they maybe knew or didn't know was there, was kind of in the background, and actually having those strengths or in the foreground, and then having that translate not just in dating but in different areas of their life.
Yeah, that exactly. Every single person has strengths and every single person has weaknesses. The issue is that the human mind leans more towards self-criticism and identifying the weaknesses. Just spending an hour with a good coach who A, believes in you, but also believes in what they're doing, it unlocks the strengths straight away, because suddenly you're tapping into a part of your brain that you hadn't paid enough attention to.
Sure. Well, obviously you're good at what you do. I mean, I've had a lot of coaches, and some are amazing and some are great, but I have to say there was like maybe one or two that I can, well, maybe a little bit more. but yeah, it's amazing when you get a good coach and that there's an effectiveness in your life that wasn't there before. And it happens in a pretty like the moment like kind of just happens, right? Where the shift happens and you understand something, and then it's like, wow, like a whole world opens up that wasn't there before. So
yeah, when that shift happens, you see a person's perspective on their past change, and you see a person's perspective and outlook on their future change, and it can literally be in a period of about a minute. And for them, right, it's the most uplifting thing they can experience. And as a coach, it genuinely makes you so proud and happy to see it.
Sure. So, well, on that note, like, you know, if people wanted to get a hold of you for a session, we have all your contact information here on our page. Your email is alexorlandocross@hotmail.co.uk. And your Instagram, people should follow you on Instagram. And that's, why don't you tell us your handle?
Instagram handle is just @AlexOrlandoCross.
Okay. And you're also on YouTube. So there's a lot of content where you're, you do videos and you put them out on YouTube for dating tips and stuff. So you have a YouTube channel too. So what is that?
So the YouTube stuff that I produce is more about the foundations of everything that I believe as a coach. And it's about the showcasing kind of the real life successes that I've seen as well. But that's just on YouTube. That's just youtube.com/AlexOrlandoCross as well.
Okay. So pretty much Alex Orlando Cross on mm-hmm. Instagram and YouTube. Awesome. Well, cool. Well, what do you want? As we're running out of time, so is there anything else you want to say? And what do you want to leave your listeners with?
First thing that I want to say is that next week I am going to be discussing the topic of hypergamy, which is people essentially looking to date a status above them. And it's going to be a really, really interesting topic, because I read an article on Saturday which was discussing the results of a recent survey based on what women wanted, and money wasn't in there at all. But I scrolled down to the comments, and every single comment was from men criticizing the article for the fact that money wasn't included in there. So next week I'm going to discuss that a little bit more and take a look at what's really, really going on, because again, that's something that I hear a lot in my coaching. So if anyone has any questions on that, it would be fascinating to hear them. But the other thing that I also want to leave everybody with is just, it's important to remember as human beings just how good we actually are at coping. You know, in the UK, we're about week 13 into our lockdown, and it's gradually changing, but fundamentally, we're all coping as human beings. And it's amazing to see that there's still that sense of shared unity. And it's amazing to see that people aren't going mad. So I think it's worth reflecting on just the positive traits in human nature, regardless of all the negative stuff that's currently going on in the world at the same time as well.
Right. There's a lot going on right now.
Exactly.
And there's a lot going on in addition to what was already a lot going on.
Exactly. There's a lot going on top of a lot going on.
Yeah. So if you have, and I'm just speaking to the listeners here, if you have questions about, you know, the topic for next week, you know, email us, contact us. You can go to our page, and I won't repeat it, but the information's all there. And yeah, so, all right. Well, thanks so much, Alex, for taking time to be with everybody. And
no worries.
And yeah, give all this great wisdom. And everybody, be safe out there. Have a great week. And we'll see you next Sunday.